Blog Talk Radio.
After this message, and We will do the heave offering this morning, the wave offering, as he has commanded. But the message that he has given me, it's about fire. And why, I don't know. Nevertheless, I'm going to bring it the way he gave it to me. So let us do our statement of faith, and we will get into this lesson on this morning. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to you, Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, Father. Glory, 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 glory to you, O Yah Elohim. We just love you on this morning. We magnify you, Father. We magnify you. We magnify you. We lift you up, O Yah Elohim, and we praise your holy name. We praise you, Father. We praise you. Hallelujah. And we just thank you for the gift of salvation and your redemption of us, Father. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we love you, Father. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you on this morning, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Our scripture, let us holy hands face to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading on today. And let me get here where I need to be. Go to Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then shall you bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. For the Most High, a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Let us start this priest up. And I want to go to Exodus chapter 19, the book of Exodus chapter 19. And I'm going to try not to keep us too long this morning. Exodus chapter 19. And why the Most High has put this on my heart and having me to teach this morning, I don't know. I just know that this is what he has been putting before me all morning long. Exodus chapter 19. And this is when the Most High came down, when he first visited Israel. First time he showed himself to them as a nation. Start in verse 17. Well, let's start in verse 16. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet Elohim, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because Yah ascended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And what we're paying attention to is that when the Most High came down, the children of Israel, you know, they, even though it was a thick cloud, and they didn't get to see the Most High directly, they did see the fire of the presence. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, for Yah thy Elohim is a consuming fire, even a jealous Elohim. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 3. Understand therefore this day, that Yah thy Elohim is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them. And he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as Yah hath said unto thee. In the book of Hebrews 29, Hebrews 12 and 29, for our Elohim is a consuming fire. This is the precept for this resurrection day. I don't know if the Most High is trying to tell me what's coming, that is here, that is soon to come, but his return is not far off. And how he's going to shake this world up, it's not going to be a pretty thing, and we have to be ready for it. We have to be prepared and understand that even though it's going to be very terrible, either he will cause us to survive or we will see him again in the resurrection. I'm not really sure which one it is. But let's go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 24. The book of Isaiah, chapter 24. And we're going to read this in its entirety. And I really want to read this from a different translation. I've read it in the KJV, and I've read it in, I think this is the New International Reader's Version. But I'm going to read it from the New International Reader's Version, and then I'm going to expound on what the Most High has been showing me this morning. Isaiah chapter 24, starting in verse 1. And Yah is going to completely destroy everything on the earth. I think in the KJV it says he's going to make the earth empty and make it waste and turn it upside down and scatter abroad the inhabitants thereof. This is how he's going to destroy this planet. And this is what's coming. And whether he does it, If I'm seeing the things that he's showing me, this is going to happen by an asteroid or something big from the heavens. Okay, it's going to hit the earth, and it's going to cause all these fires to come upon the earth. And it shall be as with the people, and he shall scatter those who live on it. Verse 2, priests and people alike will suffer. So will masters and their servants, and so will women and their female servants. Sellers and buyers alike will suffer. So will those who borrow and those who lend. And so will those who owe money and those who lend it. The earth will be completely destroyed. Everything of value will be taken out of it. That's what Yah has said. Now, this is through verse 3, and this end time we know this is an end time prophecy because the earth is still here and man has not seen anything like this on the face of the earth. And the earth mourns and fades away. The earth will dry up completely. The world will dry up and waste away. And the haughty people of the earth do languish. The heavens will fade away along with the earth, and the earth is polluted by its people. Now, this is where we need to pay particular attention to, because this is why this is coming. Verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. The earth is defiled, polluted, because they have transgressed the laws and changed the time and broken the everlasting covenant. So when I was, you know, reading this morning and this feeling of dread came over me, and these passages, if man is not going to spare, I'm not going to say if they don't straighten up, because they're not going to. This is why this is coming. And it's coming because they don't want to keep his laws. They want to make up, you know, and do their own thing. And so in this other reading of it from the New International Standard, the earth will dry up completely. The world will dry up and waste away. The heavens will fade away along with the earth. The earth is polluted by its people. They haven't obeyed the laws of Yah. They haven't done what he told them to do. So we as his people, and I think this is why he has had this on my heart for so long in telling us to, you know, to come back to his laws, to do his ordinances, to keep his judgment, because there's going to be very few people left on this earth when this comes. And, you know, it's going to be a terrible time on this planet. And so we're just going to read this and understand that our hope is in him. Our hope and what we are looking for is all in him. And so it's very important that we are right with him, that we are doing what he said to do. Again, the earth is polluted by its people. They haven't obeyed the laws of Yah. They haven't done what he told them to do. They have broken the covenant that will last forever. And what's going on with my computer here? Okay. This is here. Okay, let me just read it some reason this does not want me to. Oh, there we go. Must have two windows open. All right. Verse 6. They haven't done what Yah has told them to do. They have broken the covenant that will last forever. Verse 6. So Yah will send a curse on the earth. Its people will pay for what they have done. They will be burned up. So this is what's coming, and this curse that he has placed upon the earth because of man's disobedience, this is not far off. That's what I'm really feeling. This is not far away. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Desolate doesn't mean that, you know, utterly just taken away off the earth. It means that it's taken down. There's a few that are left. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine mourneth. The vine languishes. So in this alternate reading, the vine and the fresh wine will dry up completely. Those who used to have a good time will groan. The happy sounds of the tambourines will be gone. The noise of those who enjoy wild parties will stop. The joyful music of harps will become silent. People will no longer sing as they drink wine. Beer will taste bitter, and to those who drink it, destroyed cities will lie empty. So this picture that is being painted here, it's like there's only anguish in the world. for those that are in the world at that time, because so many people are going to disappear, be consumed. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. In the other translation, destroyed cities will lie empty. People will lock themselves inside their houses. This is a crime. There is a crime for wine in the street. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. The happiness of the land is gone. In the streets, the people will cry out for wine. All joy will turn into sadness. All joyful sounds will be driven out of the earth. Time. And this is not that far off is what I'm really getting. Is that, you know, his time of judgment is near. And so great is this destruction that's going to come that only a few people will survive it. And those that survive it, even around the world, it's not going to knock out all communication. It's going to be where people will still be able to communicate. And those that survive, they will start to turn on each other. But let's read this. Verse 13, verse 12. All the buildings will be knocked down. Every city gate will be smashed to pieces. That's how it will be on the earth. And that's how it will be among the nations. So when we read it from the Hebrew or from the KJV, there is crying for wine in the street. All joy is darkened, and the mirth of the land is gone. The happiness of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, a few people, and the gate is smitten. All the gates are broken down. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be the shaking of an olive tree. So what he's saying is that when they harvest olive trees, they take a stick and they beat the tree to knock the olives from the branches. And after they finish beating the tree, there's a few olives that are left that didn't fall in that harvest. There shall be as a shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning of the grapes when the vintage is done. And even after they harvest the grapes, you know, they don't harvest all of the grapes. There's a few of them that are left. Okay, and this is what he's saying is how the earth is going to be. This is how the earth is going to be as like a olive harvest or like a grape harvest. There's going to be only a few left, few people. Verse 14. For the majesty of Yah, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye Yah in the fire, even the name of Yah Elohim of Israel in the isles of the sea. Glorify Yah in the fire, because this is everything's going to be on fire. The vast majority of the world will be on fire. And this is how this destruction comes. And we know that it says that the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. This is what we're reading here in these verses. Who are left alive will shout for joy. People from the west will praise Yah because he is the king. So give glory to him, you who live in the east. Honor the name of Yah, you who are in the islands of the sea. He is Elohim of Israel. Wherefore glorify Yah in the fires, even the name of Yah, Elohim of Israel, in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the right. But I said, my leanness. In other words, I'm not fat. I'm not healthy. I'm sad. Woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Now, these treacherous leaders, I believe these are both spiritual forces and natural forces in the earth. And what they are doing, causing man to destroy the earth, this is that spirit that is over the earth. To act the way that they're acting. And if what I'm getting is correct, and I pray to Yah that it is, that the leaders of this earth already know what's coming. And they're not trying to make the people change. They are encouraging and causing the lawless and the spirits that they worship, that they're getting their power from, cause them to disregard the laws of the Most High. Okay, this is why this is coming, and it's so great on the earth. Fear, verse 17, fear the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitants of the earth. Now, from the other translation, verse 15, 16, and 17. So give glory to him, you who live in the east. Honor the name of Yah, you who are in the isles of the sea. He is the Elohim of Israel. From one end of the earth to the other, we hear singing. People are saying, glory, give glory to Elohim, who always does what is right. Now, the most side of wickedness is right, and we know it. Okay, and this is what is like, this is so heavy on me this morning. This is what is coming, and it's not that far off. But I said, I feel very bad. That's what we just read when he said, woe unto me, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherous. My leanness, I feel very bad. The people have done, the leaders and stuff have done bad. Now, here in verse 17, fear and the pit and the snare are upon me, are upon thee, O inhabitants of the earth. And so in this international version, listen, you people of the earth. Terror, a pit and a trap are waiting for you. Anyone who runs away from the terror will fall into the pit. And this is basically what it's saying in verse 18. And it shall come to pass that who shall flee from the noise of the fear. So this, when this event happens, everyone who's left is going to be in fear. And they're going to start trying to run away from what's happening on the earth. And where you're trying to run to, I don't know, but whatever, if they try to run from this, you're going to fall into a pit, a hole. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. There's no escape. If you run into the hole and you get up and you can get up out of the hole, then you're going to be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open. Whatever is coming from the heavens. Okay. And if this is rain, but I believe this is not talking about rain in itself, even though this other translation sort of translates it like it's rain coming down, like when he opened up the windows of heaven during the flood. But he says it's going to destroy the earth by fire. And the reason why is I don't believe that this is rain because of the verses that we're going to read next. From on high are open, and the fountains of the foundations of the earth do shake. So we got earthquake, and we got something coming through the windows of heaven that is going to cause this earth to wobble in its rotation. Let's read this. Verse 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean, dissolved. When a large asteroid, when asteroids hit the earth, if they're large enough, if they hit the ground, wherever they hit, it causes the ground there to kind of melt if they're big enough. If you get a big enough asteroid, then it will make the earth turn into molten lava all around it. And the earth is moved exceedingly. Now, the earth is moved exceedingly. It's not talking about in its orbit. It is, but it's not talking about it just moves it forward in the orbit. It's actually going to knock it out of its orbit or change its orbit. Verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunk person It's talking about the earth is going to wobble back and forward like a drunk person. And shall be removed like a cottage. It's going to be removed out of its orbit. By how much? I don't know. The moon is going to follow it. So it doesn't knock the moon out, you know, out of, away from the earth. But the earth itself is going to wobble around. And its orbit is going to change. That's going to also change the conditions on the earth. So we might have winter and summer. It might be snowing at the equator and hot in the North Pole. It's going to drastically change how we know the earth is. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yah shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. Now, whether these are great men on the earth and the leaders of the earth, or these are, I think the ones on high are those beings, whether they are fallen angels who have been influencing man, I don't believe that they are of this earth as far as, men. And the kings of the earth, upon the earth. So the Most High is going to punish the host of the high ones that are on high. When he says, and the kings of the earth, then that lets me know that there's two different groups here. And so there's a spiritual aspect to this as to why this is coming. And those men who have been influenced by those spirits that are on high, the kings of the earth. But remember, in the scripture, we're told from the book of Daniel, when he was praying, that Gabriel was sent to him, and the prince of Persia, he had a fight. You know, Gabriel had a fight with the angel that was over Persia, and Michael had to be sent to interfere. So that Gabriel could continue on his mission to come to Daniel. And it took 21 days. So these powers that are over the nations, those high ones, the Most High is going to gather them. And plus the kings of the earth that, you know, that these powers are over. And he's going to punish them because they know what's happening. They know what's coming. Okay. And evidently, they knew to go and hide, the kings of the earth, because how did they survive this? They knew that it was coming. They knew where to go and hide. And that's probably why they build these underground fortresses. Like, you know, with the military, they say it's for nuclear weapons. But I think it is also, they're going to use it also to hide, try to hide from the Most High, and hide from this disaster that's coming on this planet. Okay, but they have a way of escaping it. And so the Most High comes and he gathers them. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and shall be shut up in prison. And after many days shall they be visited. So the Most High is going to shut them up and however way he's going to do it, put them in prison, cause them to be held. And then after many days, then he's going to come and make judgment on them. Then the moon shall be confounded. Now, when I was reading this and contemplating this and asking the Most High, how, you know, if this happens, and this goes along with, and I didn't get the verses, but this goes along with his return, then the moon shall be confounded. Ashamed, because that confounded also means ashamed, confused. Now, if we know the natural order of things. The moon gets its light from the sun, okay? And the sun is, you know, it just shines on its own. But when it says the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when Yah of hosts shall reign upon in Mount Zion and Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously, we know that the Most High is a consuming fire himself. But he has never shown himself in his full glory. and he's going to show himself in his full glory. And so the natural element, the natural way that things work on this earth are not going to be that way. Imagine this, and it talks about the moon being turned into, blood, changing color. Imagine that the way the source that the moon gets its light from now is no longer the sun, because the Most High is that his brilliance is going to shine brighter than the sun. And so the sun won't be the main light source in the heavens for us. And the light will be coming from the earth, from the Most High. So now, instead of the moon reflecting the light of the sun and it shining back toward the earth, the light will be coming from the earth toward the moon and be reflecting outer space. We will see it as dark, but anybody that is, if they were away from the earth, they would see the reflection of the Most High. The moon will appear dark to those on the earth like blood. And when they've had those dark moons like that during certain type of eclipses, the moon comes up as red, as the color red. And so when it says that the moon shall be turned into blood, the color of blood, that it will be like that, then if you reverse the way that the light hits the moon, so that it's not shining, the light is not being before the earth, but away from the earth, because the glory of the Most High, his glory and his light is going to overpower even the light of the sun. And we read that in Revelation that he's going to be the light source. So we're seeing that here, but he's saying, I'm going to destroy this planet by fire. And it's going to be very few people that are left, because mankind broke the covenant. Not just Israel, but mankind. And they changed the time. And they refused to correct themselves. So in verse 23, the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when Yahweh hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his ancient gloriously. This is when he is on the earth. Now, all those who are left on the earth, they begin to fight with one another. And they begin to, they still won't come together like he wants to. This is not going to be a good time for the earth. Let's see here. So the way they have this written in this in the international version of this, starting in verse 23, and Yah who rules over all will rule on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. The elders of the city will be there. They will see his great glory. His rule will be so glorious that the sun and the moon will be ashamed to shine. So the glory of his light and the magnitude of his light in his true form, the sun doesn't compare. His brightness actually overrules the sun. It's like putting if we would take a spotlight, a very bright spotlight, and then light a candle next to it, the sun would be the candle and the spotlight would be the Most High. And because from where we're sitting on the earth, because the light is the source of the light is now the Most High, the light is going, it's coming from the Most High, and we can see it here, but it's reflecting off of the moon going away from us rather than coming toward us. And so we would see the moon, those that are on the earth would see the moon as red rather than as white, or kind of yellowish, pale white from the sun. We wouldn't be able to see its reflection. It would be going the other way. And so this is where he has my mind this morning in my heart. Go to Isaiah 25. And this is going to all tie together, so trust me. Isaiah 25. Oh, yeah, thou art my Elohim. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel of old are faithful, are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city a heap. You have made of a city, you destroyed it. City a ruin. Those that had, you know, high walls and defense mechanisms, he has destroyed. A place of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee, for thou hast been a strength to the poor and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. Because this is what is coming. This storm he has to protect us from. The heat that is going to come with it, he has to protect us from. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Now, these terrible ones, I truly believe that these are asteroids, whatever we want to call them. They're from the heavens, and they are hitting the earth. And he's the one that has to shield us from that. The cities are going to be destroyed. And he's the one bringing this because of the lawlessness of men. He causes this to happen, this curse that he pronounces on the earth to destroy it. Because of the lawlessness of men. When the blast of the terrible ones is in the storm against the wall, thou shalt bring down the noise of strength as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. So, you know, the cloud, you know, when a cloud covers the sun, the heat from the sun doesn't affect us the same way as, you know, when the sun shines directly on us. But in this case, even if there are clouds, it's still going to be hot because the source of the heat is not going to be from the sun. Terrible ones shall be brought low. And in the mountains shall Yah of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. So Yah is on the earth. He's in Jerusalem at his mountain. And he says, I'm going to make a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the leaves, and of fat things full of marrow. You know, these, it's like it's an abundance there. And of the wines of the leaves, well refined. So the best of the best. This is almost like a feast coming here. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of covering, cast over all people. And I contemplated this, and I went before him on this thing because it kind of confused me. What are you talking about? He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. The face of covering cast over all people is mortality. Destroy mortality by bringing in what? Immortality. And he will swallow up death in victory. So he's going to give. This is when we see in Revelation chapter 20 that men are changed from mortal to immortal. Okay, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 20 after this. But we read it in Revelation. The details are here in Isaiah 24 and 25 when after the 1,000 years. Okay, the details are here. He will swallow up death in victory, and Yah will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for Yah has spoken it. So the start of this is coming, and Messiah is going to return. The end of it is this. Everybody, he'll taking away death off the earth, mortality off the earth. So we know that we are coming up to the times of Jacob's trouble. We are coming up to the times of sorrow. We are coming up to when this starts. And he starts to destroy the earth, and men come against men all this is coming, and it's coming real soon, because they refuse to obey him. So in Isaiah 25, this is after that thousand-year reign of Messiah, and he will swallow up death in victory. He will take, he's going to destroy off the face of the mountain the coverings that cast over all people. That only covering that, that is over all people and that spreads over all the nations is death. It's mortality. And he says it in the next verse, he will swallow up death in victory, and Yah will wipe away tears from off all their faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for Yah has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our Elohim. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yah. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of Yah rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down by the dunghill. So I'm going to break these people down, this nation. This is a power that's in the earth at the time. It's just going to be trodden down as straw that goes into a dunghill, a doo-doo pile. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. Now, if you swim, if you're doing a regular stroke, you know, hand over hand like that, or if you're doing a breaststroke and you are pushing forward and pulling back, you move a lot of water in a breaststroke. And then in a normal stroke, you know, it's more so speed. But he's saying he's going to be destroying people like that. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to death. So this is his destroying the rest of mankind. And we know that in Revelation chapter 20, we are told that he brings all of the nations down. That in Revelation period, you read the account of how he causes the nations to run into the rocks and they're wishing for death. And so this is his destruction of this complete system. And this is where our hope is at in him, that we are the righteous, that he is going to save, that if we survive with coming, that he will protect us from the heat. He will protect us from the fire and what have you that are going to happen on the earth. Go to Revelation chapter 20. And again, as I said, the Most High put this on me this morning because I had a different message that I was going to bring, but this is what, when I woke up, this is where he put me at. So this is what we're doing. The book of Revelation chapter 20. Starting in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that great serpent, which is the devil and Satan, those powers on high, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Elohim or with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So we want to, you know, we want to be in the first resurrection. But, you know, ultimately we want our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can get up in the second resurrection as long as our name is in the book. But we want to lead a life that we qualify for this first resurrection, that we are willing to die and do die if necessary for the word of Elohim or for the testimony of Messiah, the true witness of him. Because we know that if we die or if we're killed for that reason, he's going to resurrect us. Of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. The second death is the lake of fire. And so we read in Isaiah where he said that he was going to make the earth desolate. And then we read in verse 20, in Isaiah 26, that he was going to take away this mask that was over all mankind, this face of mortality, death from over that was on mankind and all the nations. He's going to take that away, and he was going to get rid of and destroy death. Okay, so we're going to be reading about this in this chapter here when this happens. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Of such the second death, the lake of fire, has no power, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So if we want to reign with him, then we have to have died and suffered with him. Then just sit in the pews and, you know, receive the word. We lived a good life. We will not get up during this resurrection. He gives the qualifications for this one, but we will get up in the second one if we, you know, don't meet the requirements for the first. The people who meet the first resurrection, the second death, the lake of fire has no power over them. I mean, they're not subject to it. Not going to ever go into it. Doesn't have any power over them. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So the Most High destroys the world because of the wickedness of men. And I really believe that the start of that process is going to be coming. It's coming real soon. I don't know why I put it in my spirit this way. But it's not just one day. And as the world starts to be destroyed, because what's coming is, if we go back into the book of Revelation, all the life in the sea is going to die. All the grass on the earth is going to be burnt up. So this is caused by the curse that he puts on the earth. The winds are going to stop blowing. From the fires that are on the earth, then the sky is also, and the sun are going to also start to be blotted out. You know, with the clouds get thick enough, you don't see the sun, even just from rain. So imagine mixing that with the smoke from massive fires all over the earth. Then the sun will be blotted out. And it will take some time for that to all clear up. But I believe in what we just read in Isaiah. At the same time, the earth is going to also be hit by something and cause it to warble around on its orbit, on its axis. And it's not going to function the way that we're used to it functioning. There's going to be massive earthquakes. There are going to be mountains that fall. There are going to be wherever this hits at, and it could be hitting several places on the earth, there's going to be the earth's going to be dissolving, like melting in this. And it will slowly start to recover from that. Okay. Until the end. And so we're looking at 1,000 years from now in Revelation chapter 9, verse chapter 20, verse 9. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, survived this initial event. Okay. And the beloved city, and fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. Now, this verse in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 9, and what we read in Isaiah 24, if the Most High is showing me what I think he's showing me, how he's showing me, those events are connected, but this happens twice. Okay, so now he's raining down fire out of heaven to destroy those men on the earth, the people that are on the earth. But this time, he's going to utterly destroy everyone that is left but the saints. Only the saints will be left. And then he's going to resurrect everybody. So he said, verse 9. And they went up out of the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. So now, everybody who is on the earth, who is in a dead state, because we have those that survived, but they are only the saints, the ones who came out of the first resurrection. They are eventually the only ones that are left alive on the earth, along with Messiah. And now the dead, great and small, are going to be resurrected. And everyone, and as I said, when we read this, well, we'll just read it. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened. Now the books are that were opened. You know, some people say that those were the scriptures, but I believe these are the books that the angels and the Most High have been written, that Moses said, hey, you know, if you destroy this people, then blot me out of your book too. The books of our work were opened, which is the book of life. So the books were opened, and another book was opened. Now, the books that were opened, people will say that, you know, those were the testaments. But what I am seeing here is that your works are going to be read back to you, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. So the Most High, you know, this could be one or two ways. The Most High brings you back and says, okay, this was the law when you were alive. But the law doesn't change. And so that explanation of that doesn't actually work for me, because the law doesn't change. But if this is the book of our works, then if we're judged out of those things which were written in those books to our works, then these are the things that he tells us, that everything that we do and say is written down. And so then he brings up our record in the book, and we're judged according to our works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This second death is actually the elimination of death and the grave. They are killed. They are thrown in fire. Okay, so there's no more death at this time. And if you are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life, was cast into the lake of fire. So when we read in Isaiah chapter 26, the Most High says that he took away, he destroyed death. We see death being destroyed here as far as the death that we know today that we're subject to, the ending of life, is thrown into the lake of fire and it's destroyed. That type of death no longer exists. And the grave, which is hell, is thrown into the lake of fire. Doesn't exist anymore. That is the second death. Now, there is no more death in that regard. But the lake of fire is now the form of death that the Most High has put in place. The torment that is in the lake, that is considered to be death, that is going to be away from him. It's going to be an eternal punishment. And so everybody who is resurrected, all the dead are resurrected. There is no more death as far as physical death goes, where you cease to exist, you cease to know. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you are cast into the second death, which is the lake of fire. And that's an eternal punishment, an eternal anguish. So, and I forget, I think, let's go back to Isaiah for a second. Isaiah chapter 26, 25, I mean. And let me see if I can find this verse. Go back to Isaiah 25 and 8. Because the way this is worded. And understand that we just read this in Revelation chapter 20. He will swallow up death and victory, and Yah Elohim will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for Yah has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, this is our Elohim, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yah, we have waited for him, and he will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So in verse 8, he's saying that I'm going to wipe away tears from off all faces. There was another verse I was looking for. I can't remember the way that he worded it. I can't remember where it was at. It's in Isaiah, but he's saying that it's stated in such a way. Oh, it's actually in verse 7. That's where I came to that understanding. Verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. And as I said before, that veil, that covering that's over all faces is mortality. So he's going to give immortality to all people, good and bad. And he reiterates that in Revelation chapter 20, when he wakes up everybody, good and bad, and death is done away with. Death is cast into the lake of fire itself. And hell, the grave, is cast into the lake of fire itself. And then he judges. And when he judges, if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, whether you're good or bad, if you're good, you go into the kingdom. If you're bad, you go into the lake. But both of them have on what? Immortality. Because death is done away with. So this just reiterates, one reiterates the other, and shows us that he's going to remove death. But everybody is not going to not going to wipe away the tears from every person, because there are going to be people that go into the lake. So all the faces that he wipes the tears from are those that are in the Lamb's Book of Life. But everybody has on immortality. So on this first fruit day, Feast of First Fruits, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Because this is what we want to be saved from. This is the wrath to come. This is what we don't want. You know, we want the Most High to protect us in all things. We want to be up under his shadow, under his might, under his protection. And when we understand what Messiah did for us, then we have to be exceedingly glad and joyous in that he saw fit to choose us and to give us eternal life in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, this is, we're going to read quite a bit of this, but this is where we want to fall at. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So Paul is going to go through this discourse of people losing faith, losing hope, you know, saying that this ain't real, that kind of stuff. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ, or Messiah, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Caiaphas, then of the 12. After that, and then of the 12, and after that, he was seen above of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Elohim. So I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of Elohim. But by the grace of Elohim, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of Elohim, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Messiah be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, I was talking to this guy out at the farmer's market on Friday. And, you know, we've been talking a lot. And started letting me know some of his beliefs. And part of his belief was that, let me see what this is. Okay, Sister Mary. Messiah is not coming back. Messiah is in us, and we're supposed to shine forth, you know, his spirit into the earth, and he's not coming back. And I didn't really argue with him in that thing because that's where he's at. So I just sort of let it stay like that. But that's, you know, just looking at the different beliefs that are in the world, okay? So he doesn't believe that Messiah is coming back. I don't even know if he believes that he was that he died and was resurrected. The young lady that is supposed to be helping us with the grants and stuff, she is Muslim, and she doesn't believe that Messiah ever died on the cross. And so she's telling me, you know, I got books and stuff that show this. And I didn't argue with her concerning that thing either. That's where she's at. Okay. And so we see this, you know, the Most High has been putting this right before my face. My face is on a regular basis, the different beliefs that people have concerning their religion, their faith in him. So if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So Paul is going to go through this sort of argument dialogue concerning, if you don't believe that Messiah is risen, if it never happened, then if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Messiah is not risen. And if Messiah is not risen, then we are yet in our sins. Okay? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Mashiach not risen? And if Mashiach be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. We going through this stuff in vain. If this ain't true, and your faith is also vain, if this is not true, this is what Paul is saying. If there is no resurrection, then Mashiach is not risen. And if Mashiach is not risen, then we are preaching him in vain, and our faith is in vain, if this is not true. Yea, we are found false witnesses of Elohim, because we have testified of Elohim that he has raised up Mashiach, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So if you're not believing in a resurrection, if you don't believe that Messiah is going to return, if you don't believe that he ever died, then as far as Mashiach goes, believing that he was a man on the earth or whatever, we are still left in the same condition, in the sinful condition that all mankind has always been in. This is what Paul is saying to them. And everything that we're preaching and teaching is in vain if this ain't true. Okay? For if the dead rise not, then is not Mashiach raised. And if Mashiach be not raised, then your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Mashiach are perished. If this is not true, then those people just died, and they ain't coming back. They have perished. Death was the last thing for them. There was no hope in them getting back up. They lived a lie. They believed in vain. This is what Paul is saying. If this ain't true, if you think that this ain't true, then this is where you at. When you die, you just perish. You just go to the dust, and that's it. If in this life only we have hope in Mashiach, we are all men of most miserable. Why is he saying that? If all in this life we only have the hope in Christ, and if what Messiah, if he didn't die on the cross, resurrected, and we're trying to do all these things that the Most High is saying that we ought to do, then we are all men most miserable. Because we could be partying and drinking and getting drunk and fornicating and doing anything and everything that we thought brings us pleasure, if this ain't true. So we are doing this stuff for nothing, and we are miserable if this ain't true. This is what he's saying. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep. And this is why we celebrate him as the first fruit. He came out of the tomb on the day that the Most High gave Israel to celebrate first fruit. The day after the first day of the week after the Passover Sabbath. Let me say that again. The first day of the week after Passover Sabbath is the Feast of First Fruits. So when the church is celebrating the crucifixion of Messiah and his resurrection on Easter Sunday, and I went back and even, you know, did some research on why they picked this day, the Most High was not going to let them mess this day up. They had many reasons for, you know, first they were observing this day on Passover. His crucifixion, which he was crucified on Passover, but his resurrection also. But then they didn't want to be the ultimate reason why they didn't keep doing it on the Passover. these first fruits, and they did not want to be like the Jews. So they said, we'll do it on the Sunday after Passover. And we'll call it Easter. And then they brought in, you know, each nation sort of brought in their own God in the way that they worship on this day. But the Most High gave it to Israel as the Feast of the First Fruits. And so now if Mashiach is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, for since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection from the dead. So by Adam, death entered into the world. By Messiah, also the resurrection of the dead, both by a man, Messiah being a man, the Most High in flesh, Adam being a man. But every man in his own order. Mashiach, the first fruit. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. They that are his, that belong to him at his coming. That's when we're going to get up. If we have his spirit and if we have suffered with him. Then cometh the end. Now, the end is really, from that point, 1,000 years away. From the first resurrection, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Elohim. So right now, in verse 24, he's now talking about after the 1,000 years, the end cometh. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Elohim, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Now, in another place, you will read that it's Most High is putting the enemies, this principality, this power, the last enemy shall be destroyed, is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest. It is made known that he is accepted, that the Most High is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that Elohim may be all in all. Now, my understanding in this regard is there's going to come a time when the Most High won't need that body anymore. Not as the Son of redemption. When he puts everything under him, then we're only going to see him in one form. That's going to be his true form, the light. And in we see it in Revelations in the New Jerusalem. It says that the light, the light of the Most High, Elohim, and the Lamb are the light of the temple, the same being. But I'm not going to do it from the position of Messiah. Messiah's job is, Messiah's job on the earth is to bring back order on the earth and to establish the kingdom on the earth and put the earth in a form, in a form and a condition that the Most High can be here and not kill everything, not kill everybody, because in his true form, if we are in sin, we can't be before him. If we are not like him, we can't stand in his presence. Can't do what he always intended for us to do, was to be in his presence, be able to come back and forth from in and out of his presence and not die. In the form that we're in now, if we go in his presence, in his true presence form, we would die. He would kill us because of our sin. He says, I'm going to give you a new body. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear. Well, we shall be. But we know that we shall be like him when he appears, for we shall be, we know what we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be able to see him in his true form, and we will be transformed to be like him, that we can stand in his presence and not be destroyed. Okay? So Paul is going through this thing, hey, if what we're believing and what we're preaching is not true, then we should be most miserable indeed, because this is all you got. If Messiah be not risen from the dead, you got this right here. And the laws are no good. The promises are no good. And you should be doing everything that you want, whatever you feel like is going to make you happy. If Messiah has not risen, he says, this is all that there is. Goes back into it. But he has risen. And that he is still putting, everything is being, as Messiah has been put under his authority. Except for the authority of the Father, that office, because the Son must always be in subjection to the Father, who is always in spirit, in his true form. So in the flesh, he says, I got to be subjected to the office of Father, even in this flesh. Because in the end, everything points back to me as the Father, and that's from the position that I'm going to rule from. So I had to step into this earth and straighten this mess out as a man, and straighten out my creation, because man messed this up. And I gave man the authority over the earth, dominion over the earth. And I wanted to dwell in man on the earth, but man corrupted himself. So I need to come as a man to straighten this out so I don't break my own law. I gave him authority over the earth. And he was to serve me. But my intent was that I had built me a house. That's what David didn't understand. Elohim of the heaven of heavens, I dwell in a palace, in a castle, and he dwells in a tent. Let me make for him a great house, like I got a great house here. And he says, what you don't understand, David, I made all of this. I also already made my house. And it was mankind. It was you. I want to dwell in you. I want to experience this environment through the body of a man that I made to experience this environment. From the spirit standpoint, I can't experience this environment from the same way that I can experience it through flesh. But I'm going to make this flesh incorruptible because I'm incorruptible. I'm going to make this flesh immortal because I'm immortal. I'm not going to keep putting on and taking off the flesh anytime that I want to experience this earth. So I'm going to change your flesh into incorruptness, where it don't die. And I'm going to be on the earth at that point. And as far as body of Messiah experiencing this earth, that's what I'm going to do. But from rulership, I'm going to allow you to walk in my presence, my true presence. I'm going to make you like me. So we can do we can celebrate and do our heave offering and pay homage to our King. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest or made known that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, Elohim, that has put all things under him, that Elohim may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Because this baptism, there is a, I guess there was a practice in ancient Israel or in the beginning of the church. Haven't really researched this aspect of when they started doing this, but they were baptizing. When they were coming to get baptized, they were also getting baptized for their dead father, their dead mother, maybe a brother or a sister, an aunt or an uncle. Everybody that they wanted They wanted to be resurrected. They thought that they could do a replacement baptism for them. So that's why he's saying, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest, I complain by your rejoicing, which I have in Mashiach, our master. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If this ain't real, if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So get what he's saying. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. If this ain't true, then we have no hope. Be not deceived. He's calling this evil communication. And we have no hope. It is evil communication. And it corrupts good manners. It corrupts us doing what we're supposed to do. Awake to righteousness, to lawfulness, and sin not. Wake up. Keep the laws of the Most High. And sin not, for some have not the knowledge of Elohim. I speak this to your shame. I'm talking to y'all. Y'all don't want to say this stuff. Wake up to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of Elohim, and I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. So it's like he's going to go through now this explanation using plants. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may by chance of wheat or of some other grain. Now he's not saying that you're going to be buried and you're going to come back up as this grain of wheat or, you know, some other grain. Doing is equating life to plant life. And that's why I tell you that we are in seed form, okay, right now. We are in seed form. And we still have to die unless Messiah comes back and changes us before then. But the body, when you plant an apple seed, the apple seed don't look like the apple tree. The seed is the condensed form of the tree. And the tree is the express form. The tree is the express form of the seed. Okay, so this is what he's going to equate it to, the body that we're going to get. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, if made by chance of wheat or of some other grain. But Elohim giveth it a body as it pleases him, and to every seed his own body. So he's equating life and us to a seed. Now we are in seed form. And the way that you look in your spiritual body, you don't know really. Okay? Because Elohim's going to give you a body as it pleases him. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another, different types of glory for each type of body. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So is the resurrection from the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. So the natural man came first, and now the Most High is going to change mind us and created us to live on this earth in his natural body forever. But then when we sin and fail, he says, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to change your body. And I'm going to make it incorruptible, that you can be in my presence. That's going to be your spiritual body. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is Yah from heaven. Are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So we are in seed form right now. When we die, when we are resurrected and we are brought up, Elohim's going to give us a body as it pleases him. And as we know, when he compares us to a seed, you are in condensed form right now. How you are going to express when you come out of that ground, only Yah knows. We got beings in the heavens that look like lightning. The angel that came down and rolled back the stone from Messiah's tomb, they say that he was in all white. But he himself looked like lightning. So he's going to give us a body as it pleases him, not as it pleases you or me. They didn't even recognize him. They didn't even know, the women didn't know that they were dealing with Messiah, but then he allowed them to recognize him. And then the two men that were walking on the road to some city, he walked with them. They didn't recognize him. When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he started to shine like his true nature. So how we are going to appear, we're going to shine too, just like him. But the form that we're in now, we probably will not be in this form, and we probably will not look like we look. When we put on the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Elohim. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So if we are alive when Messiah returns, and we are meant to go into the kingdom to meet the first resurrection, we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, again, people read this, and they think it applies to everyone, even all saints. They believe it applies to all saints, but it doesn't. It's those that meet the requirement. Okay. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and that this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought past the same. Death is swallowed up in victory. Now that's what he said in Isaiah chapter 25. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This is in Revelation chapter 20. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim, which giveth us victory through our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of Yah, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in Yah. So he tells us that destruction is coming, and he describes the destruction of the world in Isaiah. And then he says that, you know, most everything is going to die, and it's going to die by fire. And only a remnant is going to be left out of that, very few people. And those people that are alive are going to be the saints. And when he just finally destroys everything, then we're going to have this resurrection of all the dead. All the dead, good and bad. And then those that are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will go into the lake, the second death. Those that are found in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter into the kingdom, and he shall wipe all tears from their faces. They shall rejoice with him. They shall live in his presence. And so this would not be possible if it were not for Messiah being obedient even unto death on Passover over 2,000 years ago, and making it possible where those that believe on him and will obey his command, do what he says to do, will enter into that second life, what we have to look forward to. And those that don't believe, they have to look for, they have the lake of fire to look forward to. Those that don't obey have the lake of fire to look forward to. Messiah, the first fruit. He said, now those other fruits, you know, ain't nobody else went into heaven. Ain't nobody else got up. Because that will happen at his coming. So we celebrate that he is the first fruit on this day of those from the dead, never to die again. And that he has promised that we will reign and walk in him, and we will live, we will get the same glory that he got, eternal life, even if we get up in the second resurrection and our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only difference is if we reign with him the first resurrection, because we died like we suffered like he suffered. We were killed for the word of Elohim and for the testimony of Messiah. We obeyed his voice. We were killed for that reason. Then he says, you'll reign with me, and you won't be subject to the second death. And those who don't get to reign with him, he says, you're still going to get 100-fold of whatever you gave up. We've read those verses before. I'm not going to read them today. But you're going to get 100-fold of whatever you gave up, and plus eternal life. You're not going to enter into the kingdom broke. You're not going to be the least in the kingdom, because the kingdom still has status, has different statuses. The nations they're going to still be in the kingdom. And so we have to understand this and walk according to the reward that we want. Be not afraid. Believe in the resurrection. Believe in that the second death is real, and that there is a life after this. A lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people don't believe Messiah was ever here, don't believe that he ever died on the cross, don't believe that he paid for our sins. And so because they don't believe that, they're going to maintain that mentality all the way through the tribulation. It's what's going to start, because they believe that, then they're going to start coming after the real people of the Most High, not those that are worshiping the Most High with their lips, but those that are worshiping him in spirit and in truth, obeying his commandments, his true people. They're going to start coming after and persecuting. Know that this is coming. And why did the Most High put that part in my heart on this morning, that feeling of dread concerning this thing, because it is not far away. the beginning is not far away. And so we need to be obedient to the visions and to do what it is that he has told us to do, and understand that terrible times are coming. But we walk in this faith and in this strength that no matter what happens, we want to be obedient to him and faithful to him. And whatever he calls for us to do, if he calls for us to be split in half, if he calls for us to be beheaded, as long as it's not for being a Hebrew Israelite, but it's for being that we taught the gospel and the word of Yah, and we were a witness unto Messiah, a true witness, then we are not to be afraid, because he is able to raise us back up again. And the glory that we shall have, we can't even imagine it. The body that we will receive, if you like this body, wait till you get the new one. Wait till you get the 2.0 body that can't die, that don't get sick, that don't get hungry, that can walk through walls, that at the speed of thought can be across the world or across the universe somewhere. Because if you can't die, then you can go in outer space and it can't kill you. You're not tied to this planet. What they're trying to do is go into the heavens that it was never intended that this body would go into. We got to take some earth with us. We got to take some air with us. We got to take some water with us. But when we get that new body that can't die, that don't need to eat, that don't have blood to freeze, we will be able to go into the heavens. You'll be able to go to the moon at thought. Look back on the earth. Be able to go into the sun, and it won't affect you. So we can imagine what's in store for us. If I can imagine that, imagine what the Most High says. You can't imagine it. So if I can imagine that we can go to other worlds in this body, in our new body, what's the stuff that I can't even imagine that we'll be able to do? Travel through different dimensions? Go outside of this creation. Go into other creations that he's done that he hasn't told us about. What we can't imagine. So we want to make it. And we want to celebrate him on this day for making us his children, giving us hope that this is not all that there is, so that we would live life as though, you know what, I better do and satisfy this flesh as much as I can, because when I die, that's all the life I'm going to have. I'm not getting back up. I'm not going to ever be remembered. I'm not going to ever see life again. If that's our position, then he says, you might as well go and drink and eat and be merry. But if you believe, then you better stay on the course. You better be righteous and sin not. And do it with joy. You will go and get your grape juice. Let us go ahead and do communion. And then we will do the heave offering to the Most High. So I'm going to play a song, and because I got to go get mine out of the refrigerator. And we will do this. This morning. So let me play a song.
Just gotta have faith. just gotta have faith. It's life or the shadow for all your tomorrow. It's knowing he's there through the sun and the rain. It's when you believe it before you can see it. And you can walk on, cause he's making a way. Just gotta have some faith. You gotta have some faith. Searching for purpose.
Yeah.
All right. Amen. 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 The phone line must be super busy. Hearing a lot of what they call jitter in the line. And so I'm thinking that nationwide, this is one of those holidays where everybody's doing a lot of calling. The order that we will proceed in, I want you to take your heave offering. I want you to put it in your hands if you have it. And those that I've received in the mail, let us go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Leviticus, chapter 23. And let us start in verse 13. Verse 10, actually. Leviticus chapter 23. Let's start in verse 9 and just get the whole thing. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yah, to be accepted of you, for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So this is the first day. This particular feast day is determined by the Passover. And the first Sabbath, the first day after the Sabbath of the Passover, the weekly Sabbath, is this offering, the first fruit. Messiah is the first fruit from the dead. And in him, we shall become part of the first fruit when he raises us up. We are to honor him and the Most High, and we're not supposed to eat anything before we do this. And we're also supposed to wave it before him and bless it. And offer. In these days, we don't offer a sacrifice. We are the sacrifice. And so we offer up ourselves and our lives and our walk and our service and rededicate ourselves to the Most High on this day. And we thank him for the gift of salvation and redemption on this day. So if you will take your heave offering into your hand and let us raise it up before the Most High. Most High Elohim, we come before you, Father, presenting ourselves in our lives, of our hands, Father, we present to you and we give to you as an offering, Father, that your will might be done and that our lives may be pleasing before you in our walk, that we shall be found worthy in your eyes, and that this gift shall be found acceptable, and that our lives will be found acceptable in your eyes, Father. And so we honor you in this, the heave offering, the wave offering. And I wave it before you, Father, for your children, that they might be blessed in their going in and blessed in their coming out, that everything that they shall put their hands to, Father, that you shall bless it and increase it 100-fold, Father, even 1,000, as it be in thy will, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. And amen. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Yah. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory to your name. Now, if you will take your unleavened bread and you'll take such as you're going to consume, remember that you have to, whatever you take, you have to eat it all. Honor our Savior and our Redeemer. Let's go to the book of Acts. Actually, this is from Matthew chapter 28, and then we will go to the book of Acts. Matthew's remember what our Messiah and our Savior and our King went through for us and how he came out and rose gloriously 3 days later. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. And at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of Yah descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And as for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Yeshua, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said, come, see the place where Yah lay. Disciples, that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring to his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Yeshua met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Yeshua unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall I see them. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. So remember that they put a watch. The Pharisees said, hey, remember he said he's going to rise on the third day? Let us put a watch over his tomb and secure it, lest his disciples come and steal his body. Some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Now these soldiers are the ones that were guarding his tomb, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So we got your back. If you tell this lie, we got your back. We're not going to let the governor kill you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Yeshua had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began to both do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles from whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days from here. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, Why stand you gazing up into the heavens? This same Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Let us take the bread in our left hand. Let us put our right hand over it. Father Yah, we come before you this day. We thank you for Yeshua HaMashiach, that he was faithful even unto death for us, that he might be the first of many brethren from the dead, that he would give his life for us, Father, and that he would command us that we should walk in his ways. Father, we glorify you on this morning, for without you, there would be no Messiah, and we would truly be without hope. Father, we believe that Messiah walked this earth and that he died for our sins, and that if we are faithful to him, that he will be faithful to us, and that he shall resurrect us in the last day. So we give you glory and honor and praise, Father. We worship you and we honor you on this day, and we honor Messiah, and we thank him for his gift of redemption and salvation. And as we eat this bread, Father, we will remember his body that was broken for us. As we eat and this bread crunches in our mouth, we will remember that he was named. We do honor and remember his death. On this morning, you may eat the bread. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are our hope, our reason for being, Father. And we thank you for this act that we should be redeemed to you. We remember horror how our Messiah was bruised for us, how you took out, and how it pleased you to bruise him for us. And the fact that it had to happen, Father, we do not glory in that. But we glory in that he was faithful, even unto his death. And we thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Up now. Put in your left hand. Place your right hand over it. Father, now we take this cup. And the contents of this cup, Father, we raise to you, and we ask that you would accept it as a representation of the blood of Messiah that was spilled for us. As the covenant that was sealed for us in the new covenant. And that we enter into this blood covenant with Messiah, realizing that it will cost us our lives for transgression. And so, Father, we enter in and we reaffirm this covenant with you on this morning in the blood of Messiah. Accept this offering and our remembrance, shed his blood and pay the price for us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. You may drink the cup. Mm. Hallelujah. Again, let us give the Most High hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your precious gift of salvation. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for giving us hope that this is not all that there is, Father, but that there is a world to come. And if we are faithful to you, Father, that we shall see that world and keep with you, Father. So wipe away our tears, and you shall take away the sting of death from us, and that you shall not torment us forever, but that we shall live in your presence, in your glory, and in your power, and in all your blessings that you have promised unto those that are faithful to you, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, O Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Messiah. Thank you for obedience. Thank you for willing to lay down your life for your brethren. When we were yet sinners, you first loved us. And Father, we now love you, and we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
I've been changed, I've been changed. I see the first to say, I was one of them, that we only live by grace. And just that faith, I was taught to listen to what my pastor say. Only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. But now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scriptures, telling me that it's all done with.
I've been changed,
I've been changed, I've been changed,
I've been changed.
The truth has made me free. Now let's take something that is so simple. Something simple like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy.
That is where it don't change.
Why do you lie and despise the Holy Scripture? Just to satisfy your desire. And now that I know better,
he don't even live according to the letter.
Throw away the Holy Scriptures, telling me that it's all done with.
I've been changed,
I've been changed, I've been changed,
I've been changed.
Ain't no going back to what I used to do, no.
I've been changed.
I'm a new man, I've been changed,
I've been changed.
Whatever y'all say, I will obey. I no longer listen to men, I test everything they say, that the word of Yah be true, and let every man be a liar.
I've been changed,
I've been changed.
I've been changed.
No more worshiping on a Sunday.
I've been changed.
No more Christmas, no more Easter.
I've been changed.
I keep it holy. Yes, the chains, they've been broken.
I've been changed.
And this truth will be spoken.
I've been changed.
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 This is the life we're living in.
Everybody, this is Anthony Brown from Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, and I'm so excited to debut for you my brand new single, Work, from the new project, Everyday Jesus. This song is so special to me because this song is all about love. It's all about the fact, the greatest love of the Savior that would give his life for both of you and for me. I think in this world that we live in, we're reminded enough of what we'll never become, what we'll never do, and what we can't do. But I want you to know today that he thought you were worth saving. Thought you were worth dying for. He thought you were worth keeping. And because of all of that, not only am I worth it, but so are you. Check it out.
Say that again, my sister.
I love you guys so much. Happy first fruit.
Happy first fruit, my sister. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
You thought I was worth it.
Nothing else.
Shalom to everybody and happy Easter first to you and your family.
Shalom.
And have a blessed rest of your day.
Thank
and we
you.
Shall see you on Tuesday.
All righty.
All right. Amen. Peace and blessings.
Just a man. You always said, teach me the way.
sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the mishmash, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you?
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, my sister. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings.